The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by David Spencer. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Sophie Thompson as Dinny Cheryl, Dorothy Tutin as Lady Mont, and Paul Daneman as Sir Lawrence. Episode 17.
I wish to draw the attention of the House to a recently published book describing an expedition to Bolivia. It is written by an American professor, Professor Hallison. In it, he draws attention to the questionable behavior of a British officer. The professor alleges that Captain Hubert Cheryl, DSO, whilst in command of Bolivian muleteers, ordered floggings and shot dead one of the muleteers. Captain Cheryl then panicked and raced for home, causing the expedition to fail. Is His Majesty's government prepared to tolerate such conduct unbecoming in a British officer?
The Cheryls of Condaford Grange were so old a family that they could trace their ancestry back even further than Condaford Grange itself, which had passed to them in the 12th century. The Cheryls were related to the Forsythes through the marriage of Fleur Forsythe to Michael Mont. Michael's mother, Lady Emily, was a Cheryl, written Charwell, but pronounced Cheryl.
There's Hubert Scaramouche. Shall we go and see him?
Dinny, christened Elizabeth like her mother, but always known as Dinny, was the eldest daughter of General Sir Conway Cheryl, and was Michael Mont's cousin.
Hubert, wait!
She was 24, and at the age of 16 was the bridesmaid at Fleur's wedding.
Hubert!
Dinny had hair the colour of chestnuts, an imperfect nose, a Botticellian mouth, and eyes cornflower blue and widely set. She was, in fact, like one of those natural wells or springs, whence one cannot procure water without bubbles.
Where are you off to?
To get some partridges for dinner.
10 to 1 you'll forget to shoot them. Anyway, they'll be too fresh.
Uh-huh.
Are you brooding about that Member of Parliament?
It was an attack, all right. I wish I'd never gone on that expedition.
I agree. Never trust an American, Hubert. I never shall.
No, that's not fair, Dinny.
Was Professor Hallison fair?
I did shoot a man.
It was in self-defence. We all know it was in self-defence.
I know you're all with me, Dinny.
In this family, the troubles of one are the troubles of all.
That doesn't take away the fact.
The fact is, Hubert, dear, you are not to blame. You did what you had to do.
Sometimes I think Father's right. Things seem set against people like us. Perhaps old families are doomed to perish.
I believe in the Cheryls, and so do you. Uncle Cuff said, a certain inherited sense of duty is all that's left to old families now. Well, we've got that.
Poor old Uncle Cuff.
A slice of history. Cut away. Will he be buried here?
Father will tell us when he comes back.
I expect he'll be planted at Porthminster.
Cuthbert Cheryl, the Bishop of Porthminster, was Dinny's great-uncle. And although he had never married, all the children of his long-dead elder brother were at Porthminster in the 16th-century house close to the cathedral. Cuffs, as he was known to his cronies at Harrow and at Cambridge, had just died peacefully in his bed at the age of 82. Dinny's father, General Sir Conway Cheryl, stood with his hands crossed before him, as if once more at Sandhurst, in the old-time attitude of stand at ease.
As a soldier, one sees a lot of death. Yet it always takes one by surprise.
Sir Lawrence Mont, an ironic expression on his thin, twisting countenance, had his arm through that of Emily, his wife.
Death, so depressing. He had such dignity. Poor Cuffs.
Fine old boy. Don't cry, my dear.
Reverend Hilary Cheryl, vicar of St. Augustine's in the Meads, wore a sort of sorry scepticism on his seamed face.
The best wearer of robes in the whole episcopacy. A dandyism, and his nickname, Cuffs.
Lionel, now on the eve of a judgeship, was one of the executors, the other being Sir Conway. His smooth face was that of a man whose advice is often sought.
Our family figurehead. It'll be a short will. There's nothing much to leave.
Adrian was the youngest. His infatuation for Diana Furze, a married lady, was a topic of constant concern for other members of the family. His thin, bearded face was moving more than he wished.
Like the ghost of a warrior on his shield.
The bishop's nephews and niece stood for some minutes round the bed, and then, as it were with a single indrawn breath, filed to the door.
Dear, I've been thinking.
Yes, Mother?
The furniture's about to come out of chintz, and I'm just wondering whether the chintz will last another season.
I think it'll have to, won't it?
Yes, you're right. Perfectly serviceable still. You're worrying about Hubert.
Yes.
When something's on your mind, you always pick out a song on the piano. That's a soldier's song.
He isn't at all the brother I know.
He's brooding over that business.
Only one thing would do Hubert good, and that's to fall in love. Can't we find the perfect girl for him? I can't bear to see him so unhappy.
I know, dear. Your father's going to speak to Uncle Lionel. He should know what to do.
The whole thing's damnable, Lionel. All I can say is that if I'd been in Hubert's place, I'd probably have done exactly what he did.
I don't know Hubert's version of the affair, but his military record's pretty good, isn't it?
Yes, thank you. Yes, very. He went straight from Harrow into the war, underage, of course, for the first year. He was out in Mespot, Egypt and India, got a medal, also got malaria badly. Last October, he was given a year's sick leave and recommended a long voyage. He went through the Panama Canal to Lima, and there he met this American professor, Hallis.
Oh. I haven't read the book yet. How did Hubert become involved with such an expedition? Something to do with old bones, wasn't it?
In Bolivia, yes. Hubert can't bear idleness, and Hallison wanted a transport officer, so Hubert jumped at the chance. Hallison left him in charge of his base camp with a lot of Indian mule men. The muleteers got more and more out of hand, till finally one of them, whom Hubert had had to have flogged for ill-treating the mules, and he was stirring up mutiny, attacked him with a knife. Luckily, Hubert had his revolver handy and shot him dead. And on that, the whole blessed lot of them, except three, cleared out, taking the mules with them. Hallison didn't return for 3 months. Instead of trying to understand the difficulties, he pitched into the boy. Well, Hubert gave as good as he got and returned home.
And now some service member has mentioned it in the house.
And Hallison's in the States. There's nobody to bring an action against. Besides, Hubert couldn't get witnesses. It looks as if this thing could cut right across his career.
Has he tried headquarters?
Yes, they were chilly. Well, they were scared. Lionel, what can Hubert do?
Do you know, Con, I think he'd better take no notice.
Well, you seriously advise him to do nothing?
As a fellow man, no. As a man of the world, yes.
Couldn't Lionel suggest anything?
No. But I've been thinking, Liz. The whole point is whether or not the authorities are going to take any notice of that attack in the house. Can we pull any strings without his knowing? I mean, the boy's proud. I could go and see Topsham, and you could get at Follenby, couldn't you?
Oh, God.
Yes, I know it's rotten, but the real chance would be Saxon, and only I don't know how to get at him.
Dinny might suggest something.
I bought you an eggnog, darling.
Oh!
Claire said you'd had no lunch.
Your young sister was perfectly right. Whiskey and soda and a biscuit's all I've had since breakfast.
Claire drives too fast.
Yes, Mother, but she achieves speed with style.
Dinny, I was saying to your mother, we want to get in touch with Lord Saxenden about Hubert. Can you suggest any way?
Through a country neighbour, Dad. Has he any?
Well, his place marches with Wilfred Bentworth's.
There it is, then. Uncle Hilary or Uncle Lawrence.
How?
Wilfred Bentworth is chairman of Uncle Hilary's slum conversion committee. A little judicious nepotism, dear.
Ah. Hilary and Lawrence were both at Portsminster. Wish I'd thought of that.
Shall I talk to them for you, Father?
By George, if you would, Dinny. I hate pushing our affairs.
Yes, dear. It's a woman's job, isn't it? This room wants fresh flowers. I'll pick some.
I never quite know when Dinny's being serious.
Why don't you write your own account of what happened from your diary, Hubert? I could type it, and Michael will find you a publisher. He knows all those sorts of people.
I loathe the idea of trotting my private feelings into the open.
I loathe letting that yank put his failure onto you. Why not publish your diary as it is?
Oh, it's full of miserable starkey. Perhaps you'd better read it. When one's alone like that, one lets oneself go.
What sort of man is this, Hallison?
Well, to be fair, he has lots of qualities. Hard as nails, plenty of pluck, and no nerves. But it's Hallison first with him all the time. It's not in him to fail. And when he does, someone else has to stand the racket.
I cut this out of the Evening Sun for you.
We understand that action will be taken by Captain Cheryl, DSO, to vindicate his honour in face of the statements made in
Professor Hallison's book on his Bolivian. Someone's trying to get a dogfight out of it.
Action? What action? I've nothing but my word.
It's the diary, then, or nothing.
I'll get you the damn thing.
That lousy brute Castro has been digging his infernal knife into the mules again. The poor brutes are thin as rails. Warned him for the last time. If he does it again, he'll get the lash. Had fever.
Castro got it good and strong this morning. A dozen. Let's see if that will stop him. Can't get on with these brutes. They don't seem human.
Had to flog another of them. Their treatment of the mules is simply devilish, bless them. Fever again.
Hell and Tommy to play. I've mutinied this morning. Luckily, Manuel had warned me. He's a good boy. As it was, Castro nearly had his knife through my gizzard. Got my left arm badly. Shot him with my own hand.
Nothing from Hallison.
Those devils stampeded the mules while I was asleep and cleared out. Manuel and two other boys are all that's left.
I shall stick it out here till Hallison comes or till we're dead. Which is, on the whole, more likely. Oh, Hubert's right. Why show one's naked soul to the public? No. Pull a few strings. Private strings. Beginning with my uncle's. Pull strings for all one's worth.
This is the latest Bulgarian propaganda restaurant, my dear. So, the food's safe, and at a moderate price. Yes, I met Hallison in 1920, climbing the Little Sinner in the Dolomites. I didn't like him.
Why?
He was aggressively young, beat me to the top, and reminded me of baseball.
Adrian Cheryl was one of those confirmed countrymen who live in towns. His job confined him to a museum in London, where he presided over a collection of anthropological remains.
What's the best way to annihilate a man like that, Uncle Adrian?
Well, apart from a good club on the head, ridicule.
I suppose his notion of Bolivian civilization was absurd.
Totally. Now, there are some curious and unexplained stone monsters up there, but his theory won't wash at all.
It wouldn't do any harm to hold Hallison up to ridicule. You could do it so beautifully, Uncle.
Serpent.
Well, it's a scurvy way he's treated Hubert.
Look, have you considered, my dear, that nepotism is undesirable?
So is injustice, Uncle, and blood is thicker than water.
What are you going to see Hilary about?
I want to scrounge an introduction to Lord Saxenden.
No sensitive and honest person can pull strings successfully, Dinny.
But I'm neither, dear. So wish me dishonesty and a thick skin.
Hilary is in the police court.
Why? What's he done?
No, nothing at present. Now, one of their young girls has been charged with accosting, and Hilary is a witness to her character.
Oh. What's brought you here, Dinny?
I came after you, Uncle. Was that girl really accosting?
I don't know. But to convict Millicent Pole was the surest way to send her to hell. Now, what do you want of me, my dear?
An introduction to Lord Saxenden.
Oh, snappy. Why?
Because of Hubert.
Oh. Going to vamp him?
If you'll bring us together.
I was at Harrow with Snubby. He was only a baronet then. I haven't seen him since.
But you've got Wilfred Bentworth in your pocket, Uncle, and their estates march.
Well, I dare say Bentworth will give me a note to him for you.
That's not what I want. I want to meet him socially.
Yes, you can hardly vamp him without... What's the point, exactly?
Hubert's future. We want to get at the fountainhead before worse befalls.
I see. Oh, but look here, Dinny. Lawrence is your man. He has Bentworth going to them at Lippinghall on Tuesday next week for partridge driving. You could go too.
Mm.
Now, you're coming back to the vicarage for tea, aren't you?
Oh, I'd love to, Uncle.
You were surprised to find me here, Dinny?
Twice in one day, Uncle Adrian. What could be nicer?
Well, after we parted, who should appear but the Man of Wrath himself? To see my Peruvian skulls.
Not Hallison. I thought he was in the States.
Yes, yeah, so did I. But here's his card. Professor Edward Hallison. He's staying at the Piedmont Hotel. Much more personable bloke than I remember. And I should say he's no bad chap if taken the right way. And what I was going to say to you was, why not take him in the right way?
You haven't read Hubert's diary, Uncle.
No, I'd like to.
You probably will. It may be published.
Oh, now, remember, my dear, dog fighting is excellent for all except the dogs.
Hallison's had his innings. It's Hubert's turn to bat.
Well, Dinny, no harm in having a look at the bowling before he goes in. I've arranged a little dinner with Hallison. Diana Furze will have us at her house. You can stay the night there. Monday?
All right, Uncle. And thank you very much.
Ah, Dinny. Oh, nice. Come in.
Thank you, Uncle Lawrence. Mwah.
Your aunt is molting. She'll be glad to see you.
Oh.
You know, I miss old Forsyte. I was just considering what I ought to ask for this house if we let it next season. You didn't know old Forsyte, Fleur's father, did you? He was a character.
Ah, my dear.
Dinny's here.
Dinny, my dear. Mind, Polly. Oh, he loves shoulders, such a dear. You won't mind if he tweaks your ear. I'm so glad you came, Dinny. I've been so thinking about funerals. Do tell me your idea about the hereafter.
Is there one, Auntie?
Dinny, that's so depressing.
Perhaps those who want one have it.
You're like Michael. He's so mental. How's your father, Dinny? I hope he isn't any the worse for that dreadful house at Porthminster. It did so smell of preserved mice.
We're all very worried about Hubert, aren't we?
Ah, Hubert, yes. You know, I think he made a mistake to flog those men. Shooting him, one can quite understand. But flogging is so physical, and like the old Duke...
Don't you feel inclined to flog carters when they lash overloaded horses uphill, Auntie?
Yes, I do. Was that what they were doing?
Worse. They used to twist the mules' tails and stick knives into them and generally play hell with the poor brutes.
By Jove.
Then I'm so glad he flogged them. Do you think he'd like to come and shoot partridges at Lippinghall next week?
I don't think you'd get Hubert to go anywhere just now. He's got a terrible hump. But if you have a cubbyhole left for me, could I come?
Of course. There'll be plenty of room. Let's see. Just Charlie Muscombe and his new wife, Mr. Bentworth and Hen, Michael and Fleur, and Diana Furze, and perhaps Adrian, because he doesn't shoot, and your Aunt Wilmot. And Lord Saxenden.
What?
Why, dear, isn't he respectable?
But, Auntie, that's perfect. He's my objective.
What a dreadful word. I never heard it called that before. Besides, there's a Lady Saxenden on her back somewhere.
No, Aunt Em. I want to get at him about Hubert. Father says he's the nod.
Dinny,
You and Michael use the oddest expressions. What nod?
Dinny means, my dear, that Saxenden is a big noise behind the scenes in military matters.
What's he like, Uncle Lawrence?
Snubby? Well, I've known him many years. He's quite a lad. Snubby is one of those persons at whom it's better to look back.
This is very agitating. Yes, all right, Polly, come back to me.
Dear Auntie, I'm quite safe.
But he's Lord Snubby. I've always tried to keep Lippin Hall respectable. I'm very doubtful about Adrian as it is, Diana and all that. There, Polly, on the mantelpiece, there's a dear. But he's my favourite brother. For a favourite brother, one does things.
One does.
Well, that'll be all right, then. I'll watch over Dinny and Diana, and you can watch over Adrian and Snubby.
Your uncle gets more frivolous every year, Dinny. He tells me the most dreadful stories. Well, goodbye, dear. I have to go to bed. My Swedish masseuse is taking me off 3 times a week. I really am reducing. What a nice kiss. I haven't had a kiss like that for years. People do peck so. Come, Polly. Shoulder. Such a dear.
Oh, Aunt Em looks awfully well.
Oh, she is, my dear. It's her mania getting stout. She fights it tooth and nail.
Uncle Lawrence, what do you think of Americans?
Americans? Like Englishmen, may be divided into two classes. Americans and Americans. In other words, some are nice and some are nasty. Why this curiosity about Americans?
I'm to meet Professor Hallison on Monday.
Ah, the Bolivian bloke. A word of advice, Ned Dinny. Let him be in the right, and he'll feed out of your hand. Put him in the wrong, and you'll not feed out of his.
Oh, I mean to keep my temper.
Keep your left up, and don't rush in. Give him the Botticellian eye, Dinny, eh? Give him the Botticellian eye.
Must I be bound, or must I go free, to love a young man who never loved me?
I seem to have loved Diana all my life. Certainly since before she married poor old Furs.
Diana Furs's house was in Oakley Street, and in the 6 years of her residence, it had become one of the most charming nests of all London.
Since poor old Furs went into that private mental home, when was it, 4 years ago? She's lived like a widow. He's not expected to recover, but she can't have any urge to love. Well, I know she feels a real affection for me, but no real urge to love.
Miss Cheryl and Professor Hallison.
Good Lord, Diana, they've arrived at the same time.
Professor Hallison.
Mrs. Furs. Your daughter, I presume, Mr. Curator.
No, Professor, my niece. A sister of Captain Hubert Cheryl.
Is that so? I'm honored to make your acquaintance, ma'am.
The Germans attacking Belgium was like, what's his name, the Man Mountain, advancing on the smallest flyweight in the ring, who was standing firm and squaring up like a man.
Mighty well put, Mr. Curator.
I've read that the sight even ruffled Roosevelt.
It ruffled quite a few of us, Miss Cheryl. But we're a long way off over there. Things have to be near before they stir the imagination.
Yes, and after all, you did come into the war at the end.
I fear you've gotten a grouch against me, Miss Cheryl. All the same, I hope I may meet you again.
Oh, but why?
Well, I kind of have the feeling that I might change the view you have of me.
I'm very fond of my brother, Professor Hallison.
I still think I've more against your brother than he has against me.
I hope you may be right before long.
That sounds like trouble.
And what did you think of our friend the enemy?
Oh, Tom Mix, mixed with the giants that Jack killed.
Adrian likes him.
Uncle Adrian lives too much with bones. The sight of red blood goes to his head.
Yes. This is the sort of he-man women are supposed to fall for. But you behaved well, Dinny, though your eyes looked very green at first.
They feel greener now I've let him go without a scratch.
Never mind. You'll have other chances. Adrian's got him asked to Lippinghall tomorrow.
What?
You only to embroil him with Saxenden there, and Hubert's trick is done.
What is there about the expression he-man which infuriates me, Diana?
Well, it's like being in a room with a burst of sunflowers. But he-men aren't confined to the great open spaces. You'll find Saxenden is one.
Really?
Good night, my dear. And may no he-men come to you in dreams.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Excuse my reading this. It's from my wife. She's on her back, you know.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord Saxon.
Horrible business. Poor thing.
When Dinny came down to breakfast at Lipping Hall Manor, three of the ladies, and all the men except Alison, were already sitting or wandering to the side tables. She slipped into a chair next to Lord Saxenden.
Dinny, coffee, cocotine or ginger beer?
Coffee and a kipper, my friend.
There are no kippers.
Oh.
No kippers?
Kidneys, bacon, scrambled eggs, haddock, ham, cold partridge pie.
No, try the ham.
Just some jam, please, Michael. Gooseberry.
Miss Gerald, can I sit right here?
Of course. The food's all over there, if you're thinking of any.
Thank you.
Goosecorn jam.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Who's that fellow? He's an American.
Professor Hallison.
Oh. Wrote a book on Libya, what?
Yes.
Hmm. Good looking chap.
A he-man.
Eh? Hmm. Try this ham. I used to know an uncle of yours at Harrow, I think.
Yes, Uncle Hillary. He told me.
I thought we had some breakfast in America, but it's nil to this.
Do you know Lord Saxenden?
Lord Saxenden?
How do you do? You haven't got our partridge in America, have you?
Why, no, I believe not. I'm looking forward to hunting that bird. That's just mighty fine coffee, Miss Gerald.
Yes, Aunt Em prides herself on her coffee.
Bride is ham. I haven't read your book.
Well, let me send it to you. I'll be proud to have you read it.
Mm.
Yes, you ought to read it, Lord Saxenden, and I'll send you another book that bears on the same subject.
Mm, charming of you both. Is that strawberry jam?
Miss Cheryl, I'd like to have you go through my book and mark the passages you think are prejudicial to your brother. I wrote that book when I had a pretty sore head.
I'm afraid I don't see what good that would do now.
So I could get them cut out, if you wish, for the second edition.
That's very good of you, but the harm is done, Professor.
I'm just terribly sorry to have hurt you.
It's my brother you've hurt.
Maybe that could be mended, if we could get together about it.
I wonder. The shooting starts at 10, doesn't it?
Dinny spent her morning in a part of the garden so sunk within yew hedges that it formed a perfect refuge. The sun was warm there, and the humming of bees over the flowers was very soothing.
There you are, Dinny. I'll just let the gardeners have their dinner. Boswell, you and Johnson can go now. We'll look at the portulaca this afternoon.
Boswell and Johnson, auntie.
We had Boswell, and your uncle would look till we found Johnson. He makes them go about together. Do you believe in Dr. Johnson, Dinny?
I think he used the word sir too much.
Claire's got my gardening scissors. What have you been reading?
Hubert's diary.
Depressant?
Yes.
I've been looking at Professor Hallison. He wants taken in.
Begin with his cheek, Aunt Em.
What are you doing with a diary?
Well, I'm going to show it to Michael and ask his advice.
Don't take it. He's a dear boy, but don't take it. He knows a lot of funny people, publishers and that.
That's why I'm asking him.
Ask Fleur. She has a head. Do you know, Dinny, I think Adrian's going potty.
Aunt Em.
He moons so. Of course, I mustn't say it to you, but I think he ought to have Diana.
So do I, Auntie.
When are you going to get married, Dinny?
Well, when my young affections are engaged, not before.
Very prudent, but not an American.
Why on earth should I marry an American?
You never know. It depends on what there is about. When I married Lawrence, he was so about.
And still is, Aunt Em. Wonderful, isn't it?
No, be sharp.
Oh, I wish I knew of a girl for Hubert. He does so want distracting.
Your uncle would say distract him with a dancer. But let me think. That was a girl. No, no, no. She's married.
You've got a bee on your hat, dear. Shall I take it off?
Stop! I just thought of one.
One what?
Jean Tasbury, the daughter of our rector here. Very good family. No money, of course.
None at all?
No, Jean never has money. She's pretty, rather like a leopardess. I'll ask her to dinner. We married a Tasbury once. I think it was under James, so she'll be a cousin, but terribly removed. There's a son, too, in the Navy. All there, you know, and no moustache. Oh, take the bee off my hat. There's a dear. I'll ask him, too. His name's Alan, a nice fellow. Medlar-coloured, I call it.
What, dear?
Your hair.
About the girl, Aunt Em. How do you mean a leopardess?
Well, she looks at you, and you expect to see a cub coming round the corner. Her mother's dead. She runs the parish.
Would she run Hubert?
No. She'd run anybody who tried to run him. Yes, I'll ask them both to dinner tonight. There's something in killing two birds with one stone.
Coming to the left, my lord.
God bless my soul. What the deuce?
The lights must be terribly puzzling.
It's not the light, it's the liver.
After lunch, Dilly decided to go down to the chute and stalk Lord Saxon.
Do you mind my being here?
Well...
That sounds as if you did. Shall I go?
Well, can't touch a feather today anyway. You might bring me luck. That American chap has wiped my eye 3 times.
What bad taste.
He shoots at the most impossible birds, but dash it, he hits them. Got the style of a poacher. I asked him why he shot so darn well, and he said, well, I used to shoot for the pot. Well, I can't afford to miss.
Three birds, coming straight, my lord.
Ah.
Oh, that anything so alive should be so dead. It crumbled up in mid-flight. I've often seen birds shot, but I've never felt like this before.
Ah, there's one.
Hen pheasant, my lord. Hare, my lord, along the hedge.
No.
That's your boy.
Last, Taylor. Dead now. You can look, Miss Terrell.
It looks so incredibly soft.
Sorry I tailored that hair.
The hare's crying is dreadful, isn't it?
I agree. Never liked it.
Do you ever tell Americans that they won the war, Lord Saxon?
Why should I?
But they did, didn't they?
Does that professor chap say so?
I've never heard him, but I'm sure he thinks so.
What do you know about him?
My brother went on his expedition.
Your brother? Ah.
If you read Professor Harrison's book, I hope you will also read my brother's diary.
I never read anything, haven't time, but I remember now. Bolivia. Your brother shot a man, didn't he, and lost the transport?
He had to shoot the man to save his own life, and he had to flog 2 of them for continual cruelty to the mules. Might I read you a little of his diary?
Well, there won't be a chance before dinner. I've got some letters that must go.
I can stay up till any hour.
We'll see.
Well, I'll give you a warning, Dinny, my dear. That'll do. Thank you, Powers.
Yes, Miss Clare.
Don't take Saxenden at his face value. He's an astute old fox and not so old either. Come here, Michael. Let's give an elegant twist to that tie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't men look nice in white tie and tails?
Swallows, as Aunt Em would say.
There, dear boy. Saxenden enjoys his quid pro quo. Have you got a quid for him, Dinny? He'll want cash down.
I'm to read him bits of Hubert's diary tonight. The question is, where will be suitable to my youth and...
Not innocence, Dinny. You'll never be innocent, will she, Michael?
Never innocent, but always virtuous. You were a most sophisticated little angel as a kid, Dinny. Looked as if you were wondering why you hadn't wings. Wistful is the word.
You can have my little sitting room next door. And if you knock, Michael can come round with a boot as if it were rats.
Perfect. But I expect he'll behave like a lamb.
You never can tell. He's a bit of a goat.
Ah, Miss Cheryl, you're in a near dream again. What do you think of my sister?
Fascinating.
I'll tell her that. She won't tell her. The Earth's most matter-of-fact woman.
Dinner at Lipping Hall was a best Bibb and Tucker affair. Seated between Hallison and young Alan Tasborough, Dinny had a slanting view of the tawny skin, oblique face and wonderful eyes of the leopardess, Jean Tasborough.
Hallison's a fine-looking chap.
So everybody says.
Well, don't you think so?
Men oughtn't to be so good-looking.
Delighted to hear you say that. It means the ugly have a look-in. You know, I'm terribly glad I've met you at last.
At last? You'd never even heard of me before this morning.
No, but that doesn't prevent you from being my ideal.
Oh, goodness. Is this the way they behave in the Navy?
Yes. The first thing they teach us is to make up our minds quickly.
Mr. Tasborough.
Alan.
I begin to understand the wife in every port.
Well, I haven't a single one. And you're the first I've ever wanted. You see, the Navy is very strenuous. When we see what we want, we have to go for it at once. We get so few chances.
Mrs. Charles is lying in wait for you on your other side. I am now going to go and talk to my enemy.
To be in the same house with you is a privilege I feel very deeply, Miss Cheryl.
And have you been thinking what amends you can make to my brother?
I have a great admiration for you, Miss Cheryl, and I will do what you tell me. If you wish, I'll write to your papers and withdraw the remarks in my book.
And what would you want for that, Professor Hallison?
Why, surely nothing but your goodwill.
My brother has given me his diary to publish.
If that'll be a relief to you, go to it.
I wonder if you two ever began to understand each other.
I judge we never did.
May I ask exactly what annoyed you in my brother?
Well, first of all, I found he'd made up his mind about too many things, and he wouldn't change it. There we were in a country none of us knew anything about, and he wanted everything done as you might in England. Why, I judge he'd have dressed for dinner if we'd let him.
I think you should remember that we English have found formality pay all over the world. We succeed in all sorts of wild, out-of-the-world places because we stay English. What else was there in my brother that you didn't like?
Well, he gave me the feeling that I was a great husky.
Oh? Don't you think what was really wrong was your being American and his being English? Confess, Professor, that you don't like us English.
I like you terribly.
Oh, thank you, but I
just don't like the assumption of a superiority that I don't believe in. It's like a man of 60 looking down his nose at a youth of 30. And there's no such goddarn... Pardon me. No such mistake as that.
Well, that's terribly interesting, Professor. But my aunt's getting up, so I must leave. I hear you shot amazingly, Professor.
Fleur, dear, come and sit down.
Lord Saxenden says you want him to do something for you.
Oh, what is it?
Because I'll make him.
How, Miss Tasborough?
Oh, it'll be quite easy. What is it you want from him?
Well, I want my brother back in his regiment, or, better, some post for him. He's under a cloud owing to that Bolivian expedition with Professor Hallison.
The big man. Is that why you had him down here?
If you want frankness, yes.
He's rather fine to look at.
So your brother said.
Well, Alan's the most generous person in the world. He's taken a toss over you.
So he was telling me.
He's an ingenuous child. Is your brother Hubert like you?
Not a scrap. He's dark and brown-eyed.
You know our family's intermarried a long way back. I should like to see your brother if he's so unlike you.
I'll get him to drive over from Conderford and fetch me. You may not think him worth your while.
Here we are, girls. Amy, what about it?
They do so look as if they were saying, do I want to sit next to a female? And if so, why? Men are funny after dinner.
Saxenden, you and the squire for bridge?
Not for me, lady.
Can't you just see bridge growing on people like a fungus?
Yes, I like the leopardess. Hubert will succumb at once. That strange feline fascination would go to any man's head, and she'd be marvellous in a crisis. The very girl to distract him. But suppose he falls in love with her, and she'll have none of him, and then money.
Dinny, it's an amazing night. Couldn't we go out?
This is the sort of night when you can see the scheme of it.
Warm enough.
Stars, diamond bright. No dew.
And flowers only colourful if you peer hard enough.
My old governor's a dear old boy. But his church services are enough to kill all belief. Have you any left?
In God, do you mean? Well, yes. Without knowing anything about it.
That American seems a decent chap.
Did you talk about cousinly love?
No, I kept that for you. One of our great-great-great-great-grandfathers was the same.
Oh.
Under Anne. We've got his portrait, terrible, in a wig. So we're cousins. The love follows. I was perfectly serious in what I said at dinner. You are my ideal, and I hope you'll let me pursue it.
Young sir, you are very flattering, but I point out that you have a noble profession.
Are you never serious?
Seldom, when the dew is falling.
Well, you will be one day, and I shall be the cause of it.
Even through my fever, I hear the mules cry out. Warn that fruit castle the last time. The last time.
Sorry, you were having a nice snooze.
Oh, I was dreaming of mince pies.
Oh.
terribly good of you to come at whatever time of night it is.
Seven bells. It won't be long, I suppose.
But no.
Good. I had.
The fever attacked me again. No sign of Hallison. This morning, I examined the mules. The poor brutes are thin as rails.
And well?
With blood on this one.
Blood, yes, sir, blood. Good Lord. That's been made with a knife. And there. Dug in.
Who did this? Castro, let me see your knife. Knife! Tell him, Manuel.
Tu cuchillo.
Yes. There's blood on it. Did you do this to the mule? Listen. You tell him, Manuel, that if I see any signs of such cruelty again, he'll get the lash. And that goes for any of you. You're brutes. Nothing but brutes.
Bit thick, that. Mules have no feelings, you know. Most extraordinary beasts. Read on, Miss Tuttle.
You were warned, Castro. Over and over again. You were warned. Twice. I've had to punish you. This time, you will pay for your cruelty.
I kill you. Venga, venga.
Appeal to his feelings, and he sleeps. He gave his quo and didn't see his quid. So sorry I exhausted you. Good night. I'll leave it on his knee.
Why, Miss Cheryl?
Professor!
I was just...
Oh, shh! Don't wake the baby.
I saw you earlier this afternoon, Miss Cheryl, but you were busy writing letters.
I was writing to my brother, Professor. If you had come up a little earlier, last night, you could have heard me read some of my brother's diary to Lord Saxenden. It might have done you more good than it did him.
Oh, I've been wondering what soporific you'd administer to that poor lord.
I was preparing him for your book. You are giving him a copy.
I judge not, Miss Cheryl. I'm not that interested in his health. I have very little use for any man who could listen to you and go to sleep on it.
Oh, I think I've done Hubert nothing but harm.
You know, you'd enjoy America, Miss Cheryl. I'd like the chance to show it to you someday.
Thank you, but you are still my enemy.
Miss Cheryl, I'm going to do all I can to remove the unpleasant impression you have of me. I am your very humble servant, and I hope someday to have a chance to be something else to you.
Let us not take anything too seriously, Professor. It leads to trouble. Forgive me now. I have to find Miss Tasborough.
Next morning, with the rapidity peculiar to the breakup of house parties, all the guests except Denny had departed. Hubert arrived at noon, and the Tasboroughs came to lunch.
You know, matchmaking's rather amusing. I haven't done any for a long time. Jean is striking, don't you think? She scares me a little, Aunt Em. Knows her own mind so completely. I wonder what Con and your mother will say to me. I shall wake up o' nights. First catch your Hubert, Auntie. I was always fond of Hubert. I shall send him out with Jean after lunch to see the rock borders. There's nothing like Portulaca for bringing people together. So lucky that Hubert and that nice young Tasborough served in Mesopotamia and the Persian Gulf. Mutual service is such a bond. You see the way he's looking at her? As if she were a new species of bird. Yes, dear. I think the Portulaca should do it. On second thoughts, dear, I don't think they'll stop at the Portulaca. Lunch.
Two long games of croquet before they return from that walk. What's Hubert thinking? That smile coming and going on his lips. Well, what do you think of our cousins?
He's a good chap. I thought he seemed rather gone on you.
Did you now? When would you like them to come over?
Any time.
Next week?
Yes.
Well, the quickest thing ever known. But, oh dear. I was always first with him until now. Go fetch, Scaramouche. Fetch.
Dinny.
Dinny, listen to this.
The Times?
Yes. Sir, it has come to my knowledge that certain passages in my book, Bolivia and its Secrets, published last July, have grievously annoyed my second-in-command, Captain Hubert Churrell, DSO, who had charge of the transport of the expedition. On rereading these passages, I certainly believe that in the vexation caused me by the partial failure of the expedition, I have passed undue criticism on Captain Churrell's conduct, and I wish to take this opportunity of publicly withdrawing in your great journal the gravamen of my written words. It is my duty and pleasure to express to Captain Churrell my sincere apology and my regret for any pain I may have caused him. Sir, your obedient servant, Edward Hallison, Professor, Piedmont Hotel, London. Hallison in London? What the devil does he mean by this all of a sudden?
It almost looks like repentance, dear.
But that fellow repent? Not he. There's something behind it.
Yes, I am.
You?
Well, I met Hallison at Diana's in London. He was at Lippinghall, too, so I got at him.
You asked? You begged?
Oh, no!
What then?
He seemed to take rather a fancy to me.
He's done this to curry favour with you.
You put it like a man and a brother.
Dinny!
I didn't lead him on. He took this highly unreasonable fancy in spite of plenty of cold water. But if you ask me, Hubert, he has quite a decent side to him.
You would naturally think so.
Don't be silly, dear. If he chooses to make a public apology for any reason, even such a bad one, isn't it all to the good?
Not when my own sister comes into it.
You needn't be afraid that I'll compromise you. This letter takes the wind out of the whole thing. In face of this apology, who can say anything?
In this thing, I'm like a... I'm in chancery. Anyone can punch my head and I can't move.
Captain Churrell.
Professor Hallison. Is there anywhere we could go and talk for a few minutes?
What about that alcove?
Fine.
Cocktail?
Not for me, thank you. You don't mind if I smoke?
I trust this is the pipe of peace, Captain.
I don't know. An apology that does not come from conviction means less than nothing to me.
Well, who says it doesn't come from conviction?
My sister.
Your sister, Captain Churrell, is a very rare and charming young lady, and I would not wish to contradict her.
Do you mind my speaking plainly?
Why, surely no.
Then I would much rather have had no apology from you than know I owed it to any feeling of yours for one of my family.
Well, I can't write to the Times and say I was in error when I made that apology. I had a sore head when I wrote that book. I told your sister so, and I tell you so now. I lost all sense of charity, and I've come to regret...
I don't want charity. I want justice. Did I or did I not let you down?
Why, there's no question but that your failure to hold that pact together did, in fact, finish my chance.
I admit that. Did I fail you from my fault or from yours in giving me an impossible job?
My fault. Jake?
Do you say that because it would please my sister?
No, sir, I mean it.
Then shake.
That's great. We didn't get on, Captain. But since I've stayed in one of your old homes here, I think I've grasped the reason why. Will you lunch with me and tell me how I can serve you? I'll do anything you say to wipe out my mistake.
That's all right. It's nothing.
Splendid. Let's go to the grill room.
Well done. The Tespers came to stay at Conderford, but in accordance with the irony latent in human affairs, Professor Hallison's withdrawal of the charge had prompted in the authorities a more suspicious and judgmatic attitude. Nothing connected with a public department will ever run as a private individual expects.
What is it, Hubert?
I've just heard from the War Office. They're extending my leave indefinitely.
What?
But your leave's up in just 2 days' time.
Was. I'm to go on half pay.
What does it mean, Hubert?
Trouble.
Indefinitely?
Pending an inquiry into the matter raised in the House by Major Motley, MP.
A military civilian.
He's determined some kind of fuss should be made.
That's why he answered Hallison's letter in the Times.
Yes. Are we to assume that the shooting and flogging mentioned in Professor Hallison's book did not really take place?
That apology did far more harm than good.
What are you going to do, Hubert?
Do? Go up to the War Office, I suppose, and find out what it's all about.
It's my fault, Jean. All my fault.
Of course it's not your fault. Why should we even think such a thing?
Poor Hubert.
But didn't they tell him anything?
Nothing. But someone he knew slightly whispered to him unofficially that the Bolivian authorities were butting in.
What does butting in mean?
No one seems to know. But it upset Father. He's gone up the stairs to the club.
Well, I know what I'm going to do.
What?
After tea, I'm going to play your brother at billiards. What does that Bolivian news mean, Hubert?
It may mean anything. I shot a Bolivian, you know.
But he tried to kill you first.
Yeah, he did.
Hubert?
Hmm?
Kiss me. I am going to belong to you.
Jean!
No, Hubert. No chivalry and that sort of nonsense. You shan't have all this beastliness alone. I'm going to share it. Kiss me.
Jean, it's quite impossible.
Let's be married quickly, Hubert. Father can spare me £100 a year. What can you manage?
I've £300 a year of my own and half pay, which may be cut off.
Well, that's £400 a year certain. People have married on lots less, and that's only for the moment. Of course we can be married. Where?
Oh, Jean.
When the war was on, people married at once. They didn't wait because the man was going to be killed. Kiss me again.
Oh.
We're going to be married, Dinny. Where do you think best? A registry office? Bans take so much time.
I didn't think you'd propose quite so soon, Jean.
I had to. Hubert's full of stuffy chivalry. The Dad won't like a registry office. Why not a special license?
Be serious, Jean.
I am. With a special license, nobody need know till it's over. So nobody will mind.
Well, I believe you're right. When a thing has to be, it had better be quickly. I dare say Uncle Hillary would tie you up.
You're both cracked.
Men are absurd. They want a thing, and when it's offered, they carry on like old women. Who's Uncle Hillary?
Vicar of St. Augustine's in the Meads. He has no sense of propriety to speak of.
Good. You go up tomorrow, Hubert, and get the license. We'll come after you. Where can we stay, Dinny?
Diana would have us, I think. Diana Furs.
That settles it. We'll have to go round to Lipping Hall so that I can get some clothes and see Dad. I can cut his hair while I'm telling him. There won't be any trouble. Alan can come too.
We'll need a best man. Dinny, you talk to Hubert.
Cracked!
She's a wonderful girl, Hubert. And far from cracked, really. It's breathless, but terribly good sense. She's never had much money, so it won't make any difference to her in that way.
Oh, it isn't that. It's the feeling of something hanging over me. That'll hang over her, too.
It'll hang over her worse if you don't get married. I really should, dear boy. Father won't mind. He likes her, and he'd rather you married a girl of breeding and spirit than any amount of money.
What about Mother?
Well, I'll tell Mother, if you like. I'm sure she won't mind, really. You're not being fashionable, not in marrying a chorus girl or anything of that sort. She admires Jean. So do Aunt Em and Uncle Lawrence.
I'll do it.
Oh, Hubert.
It's too wonderful. After all, I've nothing to be ashamed of. Mwah. Thank you, Dinny.
Mother took it terribly well. What about your father?
Oh, a bit grumpy at first. Didn't know who'd cut his hair. But he's going to give me £100 a year. I hope Hubert's got a special license.
Dinny, couldn't we have a special license too?
No, don't keep on taking a quantity. Behave yourself, Alan. You'll go to sea and forget all about me in a month.
Do be serious.
Can't.
Well, promise me not to marry anyone else.
But suppose I met someone I liked terribly. Would you wish to blight my young life?
Yes.
I'm going to speed. 40, 45, 50, 55.
Jean, I have a 19th century inside.
I'll drop you off at your club first, Alan, and then we'll head for Oakley Street.
I didn't send a telegram or anything. I just hope Diana's there.
Is Mrs. Furs in?
No, miss. Captain Furs?
Captain Furs?
Yes, miss. We don't know what to do. Captain Furs came in sudden at lunchtime, and the mistress was out.
How does he seem?
Well, miss, I couldn't say. He looks all right. And not having heard anything, we're afraid. The children are in, and we don't know where the mistress is.
Has he seen the children?
No, miss.
Wait a moment while I have a word with Miss Tasborough.
Yes, miss.
Jean?
What's the matter?
Diana's not there.
but Captain Furs is.
What? I thought he was in a mental home.
He's supposed to be. I ought to get hold of Uncle Adrian. The children are in there.
You do that, and I'll go in and wait for you. That poor maid looks scared.
I believe he used to be violent, Jean. He may have escaped.
Take the car. I'll be all right.
What about Hubert?
There's plenty of time. He's breaking the good tidings to your father.
I'll take a taxi. Then you'll have the car if you need to get away.
Right. Tell the maid who I am, and then buzz off. You go and get Adrian.
Oh, hello, Hubert.
You look tired, sir.
I've just been glancing at Whittaker's almanac. Oh. What's brought you up?
I want to get married, sir.
Married?
To Jean Tasborough.
Oh.
We thought of getting a special license and having no fuss.
She's a fine girl, and I'm glad you feel like that. But the fact is, I've just been hearing about it, you're in rather a bad situation.
Sir?
It's a monstrous business. But it seems there's the deuce of a fuss in the Bolivian papers, and those mule men are sticking together about it. The fact is, they're pressing for your extradition on a charge of murder.
What?
The idea that you, my only son, could be hauled across the world on a charge of murder is... Well, Hubert, it's a horrible nightmare.
In episode 17 of the Foresight Chronicles... Galsworthy was Dirk Bogard. Guinea was Sophie Thompson, Lady Mont, Dorothy Tutin, and Sir Lawrence, Paul Damon. Amanda Redman played Fleur, Gary Bond, Michael, John Moffat, Adrian, Gerard Green, Sir Conway, and Mary Allen, Lady Cheryl. Hubert Cheryl was played by Simon Treves, Professor Hallison, Peter Marinka, Diana Furs, Moya Leslie, Alan Tasborough, Paul Rattigan, and Jean Tasborough, Danielle Allen. David King played Hillary, James Green, Lionel, Michael Kilgariff, Lord Saxenden, and John Ball, Castro. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Janet Whittaker.